Flooding across the Midwest this spring caused billions of dollars in damage, destroying homes and businesses, and creating big problems for the area's farmers. But our next guest says one of the main tools we use to deal with flooding in the U.S., levees, may be making the problem worse. Amaya Molyar is an environmental historian at Drake University. Her latest piece for The Conversation is titled, As Flood Risks Increase Across the U.S., It's Time to Recognize the Limits of Levees. Amaya, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, pleased to be with you.
How much do we rely at present on levees in the United States as our main ingredient in our flood control system?
Well, levees are exactly that. They are the main ingredient. And they have been since the late 19th century. In fact, the United States Army Corps of Engineers, which controls navigable rivers and our levee system, maintains our levee system, has had what is we call a levees-only policy, which in short basically means that we have prioritized levees over other kinds of flood control.
And we have levees here in Wisconsin, but a lot of people may not see them every day. Levee just means basically we're building up both banks of the river. Is it that simple?
Yeah, it's an earthen embankment. It is a fairly simple infrastructure. They are more than just the hill that you see. They are packed earth that go down into the ground, many feet below ground as well. And they can be expensive to build and engineer, and they do need to be maintained.
Before we get into the risks they can create, are we doing enough to maintain them right now?
No, we are not. Right now, the American Society of Civil Engineers, they give a report card to our infrastructure in the United States. We are currently operating at a D with our levee system in the United States. So no, we are not maintaining them. It will cost billions of dollars to maintain them. Many of our levees are 70, 80 years old and date to kind of our big dam era. So the New Deal until through the 1960s, which is when a majority of our river and infrastructure is built, whether that be flood control or reservoirs, dams.
In a recent piece you wrote, you say the issue isn't just that levees are old and unmaintained and at risk, though they are. It's also that the idea of relying on levees itself can create a risk. Why is that?
Yeah, I think we forget that in our attempt to protect ourselves from flooding, that we can actually exacerbate flooding. And so what we have seen as the number of miles of levees have expanded in the United States, and we're currently operating with an estimated over 100,000 miles of levees that are in all 50 states. What's happening is that we're constricting the river, and we have to remember that flooding is natural. Flooding is going to happen every single year or most years. Sometimes it's going to be extreme. And what levees do in theory, and the idea the engineers had in the 19th century, was that by constricting the water, they will cause it to flow deeper, higher, to scour the bottom of the river, and therefore to flow faster. And the idea was that it would just remove floodwater more quickly. But that is mostly how it works in theory. At the scale of a watershed and the volume of water that that a flood brings, that doesn't work. And so what happens is that we're just concentrating the water in one place so that when you do have a levee breach or a levee is overtopped, it makes the flooding much worse for those places that were perhaps just passively and securely sitting behind a levee.
So if I'm living near a levee, it sounds like, okay, maybe in an ordinary year, I'm less likely to see any flood. But in a bad year, if there is a flood, it's going to be a bad flood.
Exactly. And so we're putting more and more people and property in harm's way, because not only is the risk for flooding increasing, but if that, you know, in a 1%, for example, chance that a levee were to fail or to breach, the flooding is going to be much worse because there is a much larger volume of water there.
How about if I'm living in a town, I don't have levees. My neighbors upstream do have levees. Is there a bad, I guess, trickle-down effect for me?
Yes, and that is part of what is exacerbating flooding, is that not all people are equal when it comes to levees. If you play in a sandbox, as some news outlets have been doing, National Public Radio has done this, Vox has done this, and ProPublica have made large-scale sandboxes, if you will, to play in and be able to show the way that levees can harm upstream and downstream communities that don't have levees. So, for example, if you create a bottleneck in your community by, let's say, a wealthier or newer community builds a nice high levee and they protect themselves, the water that is passing through there, it might get backed up behind and flood a nearby neighborhood, or it could get pushed at a higher level into the next community. So yes, levees can create flooding that is worse for communities up and downstream. And we do see across the United States that levees are not equally applied, that some communities can afford levees. And so we see more risk to working class communities, people of color, for example.
It seems like we see more and more reports of flooding around the United States, concerns about more intense weather events, thanks in part to climate change. Are we going to see our flood control systems, levees, or whatever we got put to the test more in the years to come?
Absolutely. And it's a complex issue. It's not, there's not just one thing at work here, but climate change is the elephant in the room. And we know that climate change modeling for the Midwest, for example, shows that we're going to have more extreme weather events, so that when we have rain, the rain is going to come faster and harder, you know, that we'll have a 6-inch rainstorm overnight, for example. And what this means is that we have more water, more volume of water all at once. But this is made even more complex by the fact that our agriculture, you know, we've removed our wetlands in the Midwest, for example, that work like sponges. And most of our agricultural fields, especially corn and soy, they're not able to retain the water. And we've built an agricultural infrastructure called tiling that sends water more quickly out of fields, drains them quickly, therefore sending water to streams faster. Our urban areas operate similarly. Lots of impervious surfaces. So you've probably heard, if you disconnect your downspout, for example, let rainwater go into your yard as opposed to straight into a storm drain. If you just think of that on a much broader scale, this is what our cities are doing, sending water more quickly into our water systems. And so as we restrict our rivers, we see a larger volume of water, and it's running through an environment that has been engineered to shed that water more quickly. So when we add climate change to this built environment, our risk is increasing several fold.
Are there communities taking different approaches, approaches not built around levees that seem to be working better?
There are some communities that are recognizing that they need to treat their riverine environments differently. On a broader scale, we're starting to see cities like along the Missouri and the Mississippi River, putting more green space. We also saw after the 1993 flood, we saw national wildlife refuges that replaced farmland, for example, giving the river room to rise, a place for the floodwaters to go, recognizing that floods are natural. And if you let a floodplain be a floodplain, then your risk is reduced. And so as those high waters come through communities, communities can do something very similar. And the most significant example that we see in the Midwest is Davenport, Iowa, which is one of the Quad Cities on the Illinois-Iowa border where the Mississippi River runs through. And Davenport is a city of 100,000 people, and it's the only major city that has chosen not to build a levee. And that decision is proving to have been a good choice. And so what the city has done is it's created park space, green space, public space down by the river, which of course attracts people and creates places for recreation. So when the river rises, it is grassland, it is soccer fields, it is a promenade that is flooded instead of homes and businesses. The mayor of the city said after a flood, Davenport just rinses off. And even some of its infrastructure downtown, its buildings, have begun to reorient themselves to this new kind of built environment. So famously, the Figge Art Museum, which is down on the riverside, is a world-famous art museum. And it is built so that the river can run underneath in flood time. And that's exactly what happened this year in 2019. The Mississippi River was in flood stage for basically 3 months. And for a large part of that, there was a river running underneath the art museum quite safely. All of its precious goods were one story up and high and dry.
We'll leave it there for now. Amaya, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That was Amaya Milliar, environmental historian at Drake University, with us today to talk about why levees may not be the best way to control flooding and to share some alternative approaches when it comes to flood control.